I want to rush to the text now. And for this anniversary, I just want to talk about Jesus. That is the foundation you've been building on. I just want to, on this 122nd anniversary, give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be taking these glasses off, because unlike my sister, I can't read with my glasses. They messed them up. They gave me single vision instead of progressive. So when I look down, I can't read nothing. But I believe what we need like never before is the gospel. No cold, insipid moralizing, no dull collection of views, theories, or schemes. But the gospel is able to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim deliverance to the captives, and bid a distracted world stand still and see the glory of the coming of the Lord. And it's with that in mind, I take you to Matthew, the 16th chapter. How many of you brought your Bibles with you? Amen. Lift them up high. Let me see your Bibles. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I have it in my hand.
I have it in my hand.
But I want it in my heart.
Bless me, O Lord.
To receive your word, that I may live your word. I am a believer, and not a doubter. I can be and do all that the word of God says I can be and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. When you found it, say, I got it. That's enough to get started. Now when Jesus went, and I'm reading the modern translation. Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you yourselves say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Finally, verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, Greek word being Petros, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, Greek word being Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. I want to speak from this thought sifted from this text. Who is he to you? Look at your neighbor now. You're not scared of your neighbor, are you? Look at your neighbor and say, who is he to you? Now find somebody on the other side. Look him in the eye. Don't be shy. Look him in the eye and say,
who is he to you?
It's important that we really know who Jesus is. And we live in a time when everybody's not talking about the same Jesus. You have to be aware of the fact that just because somebody calls out the name Jesus, it may not be the same one that you got. And it's critical that you have the right one and not the wrong one. I don't really mean any harm, but my Muslim brothers, we can't hang because they got the wrong Jesus. Like those in our text today, they say he's another prophet, but they want to stop with him being just another prophet. And when you take away the divinity of Christ, you take away my salvation. I need a Jesus whose blood can cover my sins. I need a Jesus that can make the connection for me between earth and heaven. I need a Jesus who can not only hear my cry, but do something about my cry. And so I don't need the wrong Jesus. I need the right Jesus. I have a cousin who's a Jehovah's Witness. I love him still. But he got the wrong Jesus. When you start taking Jesus and equating him on a level with Lucifer and calling him the brother of Lucifer, who's just a created being, then you got the wrong Jesus. Not only that, but you messed up in your mind. And so I have problems with that, you know. Some of you saw the movie The Da Vinci Code. Wave your hand up if you saw the movie. You know that that movie was organized assault on my Jesus. Designed to say that he's not all that we have declared he is. And if you didn't really know him, if you just went to church to have a good time, you might think there was something to the movie. And I heard even some church-going folks start asking questions they should never asked, which suggests to me that you really don't know Jesus. There's a guy in Houston right now, Hispanic guy, and I just saw it on, did you see it on the Oprah Winfrey show? And he said he's the second coming of Christ. I said, oh, that ain't my Jesus. And he's raising up little kids. If you saw it on TV, you saw he got all these kids. He's giving them his doctrine, and he's telling them all that something catastrophic is coming up down the road, and the only way you're going to survive is you have 666 tattooed on you. If that don't sound like the devil, I don't know what does. But he's claiming to be Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to tell you today, everybody does not have the right Jesus. Now, there are consequences to having the wrong Jesus. You can be a churchgoer. You can be sitting here this morning. I don't know your name, so don't look at me funny. You can be here this morning and have the wrong Jesus. Because even church folks try to make him in their own image. You know, they want a Jesus that will let them do what they want, whenever they want, and still make it to heaven. Yeah. Touch your neighbor and say, you don't have that Jesus, do you? We've got some people who actually come to church, think they can cuss the preacher out, no pay no tithe, talk about people on the phone and make Southwestern Bell rich, and still think they're supposed to be blessed. They don't know my Jesus. And so we have to understand that you must have the right Jesus. The consequence, I'll only name two, there are many. The consequence of not having the right Jesus is you don't get no salvation. I think you agree with me, in these dying days, you need a Savior. I think that you will go with me when I say this is not the time to be unsaved. There's too much hell on earth. There are too many things happening every day. There's too many things that can go wrong with your life. You need to be saved. Not only that, sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the danger of and the consequence of having the wrong Jesus, somebody you can play with and manipulate, is that you don't have your salvation. I hate to say it, but not everybody's saved to go to church. Not everybody's saved in your community. And when you think about 122 years, you've got to think, Lord, what else can we do? Well, what one thing we can do, start the mission campaign inside and then take it outside. Get the folks inside saved that ain't saved, and then go save the folks outside that not saved, because if there ever was a time everybody need the real Jesus, it's right now. It's okay. Go ahead and bring 21st century to your church. I love the screens. I love the fact you got cameras everywhere. They everywhere else, aren't they? I love the fact that you're moving with the 21st. This is a 21st century church. Amen and amen again. But to be successful in the kingdom of God, you got to get everybody that comes within the circle of where you live. If they're within 3 feet of you, because you saved, they need to be getting saved. Now, you can't make nobody get saved, but you can be a part of the process, because when the Jesus in you rise up, somebody ought to say, I just met Jesus. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
And so the danger of not having the right Jesus, that there are people who will not get saved, and there are people who are still not saved. How many of you got family members that you like to see get saved? And some may be in jail, some may be out there getting in trouble, and that's why when you think about your church, you got to think about hooking up with the right Jesus so that somebody can get saved. But not only that, the second thing that is a consequence is you lose security. We're living in a world that's peppered with insecurity. And when this country went through right next door to you, 9/11, People found out that in one day you can get wiped out. Thousands of people got away and thought they were just doing fine, going to work as usual. And so we see how insecure our environment is. We see how unstable our times are. We see how troubled we are in these times of testing and difficulty. And the only way you can hold your head up and have peace in the midst of a storm and be able to believe in tomorrow when you don't know what tomorrow holds is you got to have the divine connection. You got to know Jesus for yourself. But to have the wrong Jesus means that insecurity will rip you off, and insecurity will blow your mind, and insecurity will give you more troubled waters than you want to deal with. There are benefits to having the real Jesus. And if there ever was a time, we need those benefits is right now. When you've got the real Jesus, you've got the cure for your calamity. When you've got the real Jesus, then you can make the transition from tragedy to triumph. When you've got the real Jesus, you can make the climb from conflict to conquest. You can make the ascent from anxiety to achievement. When you've got the real Jesus, you can go through and understand that the caterpillar of unpleasant circumstances will be turned into the brilliant and beautiful butterfly of unexpected blessings. You got to have the real Jesus. Somebody shout, the real Jesus. What I love about having a real Jesus, I have a reason to complain, but I prefer to smile. Just the other night, I was having trouble getting to sleep. In fact, I didn't get to bed at 2 o'clock because the air conditioner at the hotel was messing with my nose. And I couldn't breathe. In fact, if you heard me where I sounded last night and where I sound now, you said, man, what happened to you? I could not talk. I was stuffed up. I couldn't breathe. And antihistamines went wild. And so I said, Jesus, I got to talk for you in the morning. What you going to do? And so he said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You turn the air conditioning off. I said, well, I'm going to turn the air conditioning off, but when I be able to sleep, he said, yeah, I'll make sure you sleep. And you know he did. And from 2 o'clock on, I mean, with the air conditioning off, I took my little spray, my head cleared up, and I got to sleep. So I wouldn't come in there looking like I'm drunk. And I'm trying to tell you, when you got the real Jesus, he will fix your problems. He will lift your bowed down head. He will regulate your mind. He will fix your heart. But you got to have the real Jesus. And that's what the testimony of the text brings us. When everybody else was calling Jesus another prophet, Peter stood up and said, Jesus, did you ask what I think? I tell you what, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the intriguing thing is Jesus came back on him and said, look, Peter, you're not that smart. You got a revelation from on high. How many of you know that when something great happens in your life, it's because God on high did something for you? Come on, give him some praise for that now. No. If it's anything that gets you plaudits, if it's anything that has lifted up your head, if it's anything that has made you stand out, if it's anything that makes you feel good about yourself, don't give yourself all the credit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, if you had not touched me, if you had not blessed me, if you had not put your hands on me. And so it was that Peter was standing out amidst all the other disciples. But Jesus said, wait a minute, Peter, that's not because you're the big shot. That's because my Father gave you the revelation. I come by to tell you, when you're hit with the tough questions of life, you just need to let God give you the revelation. And so it is that we see Peter giving the right answer and pointing out the right Jesus. But you know, Jesus had what's called the inner circle. And James and John were there, and I bet they felt a little slighted. You know, Big Mouth Peter got up and asked him before I could. You know, this was like a pop quiz setting. He was asking questions, and the big question was, who do you say that I am? And have you ever been in a classroom where, you know, you think you got the answer, somebody jump up and give it before you? And it's like, man, I wish I could have had that mic to say that I couldn't. So I began to use my baptized imagination, and I said, I bet you James wanted to say something. So I said, come on, James, what would you have said, James? Well, Jesus, I know who you are. You're the one who set the sun in its appointed place. You're the one that keeps the moon the marvel of the night. And you're the one, Jesus, who has the thunder to announce the coming of the rain. And you're the one who has the dew to fall in silence. And you're the one that has the stars to make their entrance on the darkened stage of night. And you're the one that has the flowers turn their petals toward the sun and never lose their fragrance. And you're the one that has the planets make their way through the thoroughfares of infinity without an accident like on the New Jersey Turnpike. And John said, wait a minute, let me have my turn. Sweet John, John said, Jesus, let me tell you, I know you, Jesus. You're absolute in your affection. You're bounteous in your blessings. You're constant in your care. You're diligent in your devotion. I know you, Jesus. You're excellent in your execution. And you're faithful in your fidelity. And gracious in your grace. Oh, yeah, let me talk about you, Jesus. You're high in your holiness. And you're infinite in your inspiration. Yeah, Jesus, I'd like to talk about you. You're just in your judgments and you're kingly in your kindness. Yes, you are. You're lustrous in your love and you're mighty in your mercy. Oh, Jesus, let me talk a little longer. I know time is running out, but you're nice in your numerics and you're omnipotent in your omnipresence and you're qualitative in your quantitativeness and you're powerful in your presentations and you're righteous in your rewards. Oh, sweet Jesus, you're making me feel good now, Jesus. I want to let you know that you're steadfast in your service and you're triumphant in your truth and you're universal in your unity and you're victorious in your veracity and you are winsome in your works and you're extraordinary in your extras. You're yielding in your yes and you're zealous in your zeal for souls. Oh, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking about you, Jesus, and I love to call your name. You know, there ought to be some fire in every church goer. Don't let nobody dare say the name Jesus and you don't have a reaction. Don't let nobody try to put his name down. You say, I can't pray. I was at the university, A&M University, and they called me in to pray sometime, and they were talking that stupid talk about state and church. I say, now, if you're going to tell me I can't say Jesus, you don't want me to pray. Now, if you want to be, if you want to have me mess you up, put me up to pray. In fact, I say Jesus every time I get a break. I mean, I'll be saying Jesus at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. But that only happens when you got the real Jesus. When you got the fake Jesus, you can compromise. You can back up a little bit when you got the wrong Jesus. And you can put him down and pick him up next week, when you got the wrong Jesus. But when you got the real Jesus, every day is a good day when you know the Lord. And I walk with him and I talk with him all along life way. I'll never forget my school days. But Greg told you about how we went to Colgate and Dr. Jones and Dr. Gardner Taylor were our favorite professors. And Dr. Jones would talk about how Jesus left earth and came to heaven. And Dr. Taylor would talk about that great Friday, and I put them both together. And Dr. Jones, I appreciate him, and I know he's going to glory now, but he would talk about how Jesus left the royal splendor of the Father's house, and how he left the city four square, how he left the chant of the cherubim and the songs of the seraphim, how he left undarkened days and unpolluted breezes, and how he left the morning glory, came on down to these mundane chores. And then after serving his ministry for 3.5 years, that faithful Friday showed up. You remember, don't you? One faithful Friday when the lying witnesses had gone home. One faithful Friday when the courts had closed and the judges had left their chambers. One faithful Friday between a sinning earth and a sorrowing heaven. One faithful Friday, he went on down into the belly domain of the grave, preached to the spirits chained in prison, and then in the golden splendor of a Sunday sunrise, he got up He got up and he said to his Patmos prisoner, I am he who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. That's the real Jesus. Somebody help me shout, real Jesus. That's the one I'm talking about. And that's the one that I met one day. And when I found myself not having enough, he became Jehovah Jireh. When I found myself troubled in my mind and without peace to go to sleep, he became Jehovah Shalom. And when I found like I was out there and it looked like it was all by myself, he became Jehovah Shammah, always present. And when I felt like a sheep without a shepherd, he'd show up as Jehovah Rohi. And when I felt like I was too wrong to be right, he showed up as Jehovah the Sitkanu, the Lord my righteousness. And when I found myself on the battlefield of life, he showed up as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner and my victory. And when I found myself flat on my back with doctors working on my body, he showed up in the room and became Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healed. Is there anybody here that knows my Jesus? Anybody here who understands who he is? I come by to tell you got to know who he is for yourself. But when you get through talking to the disciples of his day and you get through talking to the disciples of this day, when you can't get it right, just listen to what he says about himself. Because he says, I am the door. He says, I am the chief shepherd. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the Lamb of God. He says, I am the light of the world. Does anybody know who he is based on what he said about himself? Has he been light for your darkness? Did his blood cover your sin? Has he ever fed you when you're hungry? Has he ever lifted up your dying soul? Has he been a shepherd to save you from yourself? Has he opened a door that no man can shut and shut the door that no man can open? Is there anybody here who knows my Jesus? Is there anybody here who met the master for himself? Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Don't you dare sing that song if you haven't experienced that song. It ought to put joy bells in your heart, clapping in your hand, running in your feet. You ought to run for Jesus. Because can't nobody do me like the Lord, yeah. I got to take a survey right quick. I just want to know because they say, I know what he's done for me. I'm not confused about my Jesus because not only has he brought me from a mighty long way, not only did he bring me through major surgery, I remember when 3 guns were put on me on separate occasions, but they couldn't pull the trigger. I remember when I was in a car that turned over 7 or 8 times, but I got out without any broken bones. I remember flying on a plane that looked like it was about to crash, but somehow or another they got it under control at the very last minute. I remember them taking me to the hospital to say there's a 50-50 chance. I got the 50 that kept me alive. You see, I ain't talking about somebody who haven't been in my life. I ain't talking about somebody I heard about. I ain't talking about somebody that I look at on Sunday and I don't see on Monday. I'm talking about somebody who's been there when I'm down and out, who heard my despairing cry, who pitied my every groan. And I just want to know, if you were here today, if you can remember when he touched your body and told you to run on, stand to your feet. And if you remember when he fixed your finances, stand to your feet. And you can remember when he saved your dying soul, stand to your feet. And you can remember when the Lord blessed your family, stand on your feet. When you can remember that he saved your child, stand on your feet. If you can remember when he answered your humble prayer, stand on your feet. When you can remember how the Lord lifted your bowed down head, wiped away your unwanted tears, set your feet back on solid ground, you ought to stand on your feet. Give him a standing ovation. Can't nobody do you like the Lord, yeah. I'm through, church. I got to sit down before I start acting a real fool. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Let me tell you that the world is in trouble today. We got to stop talking about we got a bridge over troubled waters and everybody's still drowning. We got to stop talking about we know somebody who makes a way when there appears to be no way and everybody asking which way to go. We got to stop declaring that the Lord is the battle axe and then we still trying to fight our own battle and getting killed in the process. We got to stop holding up the cross, talking about how pretty the cross is, without remembering that you've got to take up your cross. And then you're qualified to follow him. We've got to come to the day where we no longer just enjoy worship, but we experience God. And that's what I want to tell you as I take my seat. It ain't enough to enjoy the choir and enjoy a presentation. We've got to experience God. And that's what God is waiting on. In a dying, dismal, dark world, he's saying, somebody bring forth my light. And the church that belongs to me ought to have light where there's darkness and salt where there's decay. And somebody ought to get healed and somebody ought to get saved and somebody ought to have joy. Oh, joy. Unspeakable joy. Joy the world didn't give me and the world can't take from me. Anybody here got that joy? Oh, joy. Oh, joy. Joy bells ringing down in your soul. Go out the door with a happy face. Tell somebody, I just came from happy hour, but it wasn't with J&B. It wasn't with Budweiser that makes you Bud Dumber. It wasn't with wine and it didn't have no marijuana. All I had was Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. 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 Hey. Hey.